to give a pitch, and everybody's was so fun. And we got up there, and I'm like, oh my God, we don't have anything really fun. I thought of this after the fact, that the guy that said, if you come to my session, you know, the psychoactive plant, you might get to taste that. I thought, you know, if you work with people in organizations that you wish were partaking of those psychoactive plants, come to our session. We work with organizational transformations, and specifically in the agile industry. I'm Michelle Mador.
And I'm Michael Spade. And we're going to talk to you about those agile transformations. We're going to, how many people?
Yes.
I was going to say, I'm standing in the light, so thank you.
If you're talking to the microphone,
yes.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So we're going to talk to you about those agile transformations just a little bit. We want to give you a sense of them and how we're using the integral framework to help make those really work in an organization, or at least have the potential of working. We've been doing agile transformations between us, and we'll tell you what that means, for about 30 years, actually. And until we started using the integral framework, we ran against a lot of difficulty, a lot of bad times.
And that's why when we started this organization, one of our slogans, so to speak, was we want to transform transformations, and we want to do this in a way that we know is what the world needs, which is to think more integrally, because people are just focused on the right side, and they know they have some issues to deal with on the left side, but they really don't know how to do that.
So we're going to take you through a little bit. How many people have heard of Agile or know what it is? Oh, my gosh, everybody. How many people know it quite well?
Oh, okay. That's great.
All right, so this will be a review.
Well, we like to say we're usually doing this integral to Agilists, and this was so different for us to come here and do Agile to Integralists, so we were like, how do we even do that?
We don't need to.
All right. So
we're going to because most people start in it in terms of Agile, they think of it as a practice-oriented, they think of it as a process thing, we're going to start there, too.
So in the IT quadrant, you know, you're seeing, if you're familiar with Agile, like many of you are, you're seeing, teams, an Agile coach will come in and he'll say, okay, now everybody, we're doing this transformation and everybody's going to break down into small teams, cross-functional, you're going to collaborate, you're going to work face-to-face every day, and you're going to develop iteratively. So you're no longer going to take a whole year, you're going to show the customer something, you know, every 2 weeks. And so it's a very different way of working.
We're going to have a limited amount of work in progress. We're not going to do too much. We're going to have the customer sit with us every day. We're going to go with the instincts that you have naturally, but not the way the organization is set up. So there's immediate both relief on a certain level and friction on another level.
And by the way, leaders, you have to do something very different. And we have all kinds of training for Scrum Masters and product owners and teams, but leaders, we just want you to be more visionary and servant leaders and just not be commanding and controlling, and that's your new job. And so that's how we go about agile transformations.
Good luck with that. From a structural point of view, we're going to take a hierarchy, a functional or a matrix of some kind, and we're going to want to instead organize it around what are called value streams. Value streams are the things that produce value for companies and organizations, and if things were organized around those, it would make things go better from a flow point of view, because what we're trying to do from structurally is to maximize the throughput. How much value do we create per unit of time, essentially?
So we're really against a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of politics, long processes. We want to lean out those wasteful processes so that we can actually see the flow of value. So we want to see end-to-end processes with teams that are cross-functional that deliver that, right? That's what we ask them to do. So since we can't always do that, we've then since created all these scaled frameworks that can potentially do that for us. So this is where those scaled frameworks live, right here in this quadrant.
So the right-hand side is where Agile is optimized, is where people think about it. People intuit that the left-hand side is important, but they don't have methodologies there. They don't have real structure. They don't have an integral framework typically, so they don't see it clearly. They feel it, but they don't know how to deal with it.
Right. So. And, okay. So on the we quadrant here, of course, we're thinking about things like, oh, we're going to collaborate, a lot of collaboration, face-to-face conversation, and all perspectives are valued. We want to hear all the voices in the system. No more handoffs, no more silos. Everyone cross boundaries and work with one another and collaborate and create and innovate and, as Alan said, reimagine and rethink your organizations. So this is what we're asking you, the values and the principles that we're asking you to take on when we come in and say we're doing this agile transformation.
You can perhaps already feel how this is going to go against the grain of most organizations. It's going to satisfy some, and it's going to piss off others, or make them, or put them in difficult position they don't know what to do with. From a mindset point of view, we mentioned servant leadership, which is actually a fairly high developmental level. That's really actually a very sophisticated level of leadership. We want transparency, accountability to the team, not to your boss.
Right. So transparency is such a big thing in Agile, and as most of you probably experienced, we go in and we say you're going to be transparent. So we're instead of going from green on my project for 8 months and then all of a sudden the red light comes on, now you're going to talk to us every day and tell us about all your impediments and what's not working, and you're going to tell us that you're red when you're red, like right away, right? So again, this is the mindset we're asking people to shift. And we go in and we say, here's the Agile mindset. I want you to take it on right now as if I can implant a new mindset into them, right?
So the bottom line of what this does, if you can maybe start to get a sense of that, is that it throws people and organizations in over their head. It puts them in a situation that they can see makes sense, they can see the rationale for it. Very few people fight logically that we should be able to do this, but they can't do it.
And when we put people in over their head, they can either wake up and get off autopilot, or they sit there and they don't know what to do. And they stay the same. So it's status quo. With status quo, can we get transformation? No. Right? So we've got to do something different, and we have to get people to think differently. And so this is an opportunity for us to raise the consciousness of organizations, because this is like that heat perspective thing that happens. In order for you to wake up, there needs to be some kind of heat. And when there is, there needs to be something there, like someone like one of us, to help them see a new perspective, right?
So this is the Integral Agile Transformation Framework, our application of the Integral model into this Agile transformation world. We're going to decompose it quadrant by quadrant, but just to give you a sense, this is what the whole compass looks like. We talk about it as a compass because it's both a place to diagnose and see what's happening, what's the cosmic address of something that's going on in a given situation, and also what's the roadmap, where do we want to intervene and in what way.
And by the way, we're only going to mention like one thing in each one of these quadrants because this is a lightning talk, and we do a three-day workshop, and that's even tough to get everything in a three-day workshop. So we're just going to give you a sense of it with one thing in each quadrant.
So in the I quadrant, we're measuring relevant to leadership, Keegan's orders of consciousness, essentially, and we're using this tool called the Leadership Circle. It's a 360 instrument. It maps socialized mind, self-authoring, and self-transforming mind to the reactive and creative fundamentally. This is where the 360 lives.
So, and we use the Leadership Circle because anyone used the Leadership Circle before? Oh, yay. Okay, so the Leadership Circle, as a few of you know, is a tool that actually helps people develop. So it's a vertical assessment tool, not just a horizontal one. And so this one, it gets to the reactive tendencies that we all have. It's the things that we do because we've always done them. It's our autopilot, so to speak, right? So it's the strategies that we use that have gotten us by and now no longer serve us. But what we want to do is move more to that creative space up there so we can be more outcome creating. Right?
You could say that the reactive is a way of deconstructing ego. It's a way of showing the tendency of ego, what my personal ego is, and helping me understand it better. Because of that, the getting the results of this 360 are sort of a gut punch because they get you on a psychological level in a sort of a nasty but healing way, surgeon...
Right. So this, when I said we need something to help them wake up, this is a tool that does that. It's a self-awareness tool. And self-awareness, as we know, and awareness is the first step in waking up or changing, right?
So back to this slide for a second. So we prefer, most people start in it, we prefer to start in I with consciousness of the senior leaders, because if you're not willing to look yourself in the mirror as the CEO and say, I'm the first problem to change in this transformation, you're not going to have a transformation. You can't delegate transformation. You can only take it on yourself. All right, you ready to?
So now we move to the it quadrant. In this quadrant, we're concerned with practices and behaviors such as, agile practices. And how we think about the developmental line in this quadrant is in terms of how do we create products. So it's in product creation. So we're thinking about product creation in terms of being process-centric at the amber level all the way up to society-centric at the teal level. And you were talking, Alan, your presentation was great, by the way. You were talking a lot about society-centric in a different way, but that's what you were referring to. Yeah.
So process-centric in the amber range is we're going to do the create innovation by following our process in our little function, you know, without regards to the whole so much.
And then we move to product goal, where you, as you can see from the picture, everybody, the whole organization is focused on the product. This is something like waterfall, right? If you're familiar with that, that's where the budget, scope, all of that is what you're concerned about, and it's the product focus.
Agile tries to put us into customer-centric, where the customer is the center. Lean Startup tries to do that. We used to think that that was the top of where things were. It's not.
We moved to organization-centric, and now if you know anything about brand-driven product development, brand-driven is where the brand is in the center. Now, if everyone is focused around a brand, you can get more perspectives. You actually include more voices, right? So you're concerned with, what is the mission of the organization? What is our purpose? We don't forget that. We don't forget employees. And we think about product development purpose and customer and how are we going to market this? So more voices are included, so you've expanded your perspectives in how you're developing products.
And then Elaine is where, Elaine or Alan?
Alan.
Alan. Is society-centric, where you're taking the whole into account, truly, in your innovation.
And these are organizations that care about the world. And we know that organizations are, that's what we need organizations to solve world problems. It's a global world now. You're not just in your own little world, right? It's a global world. So organizations have to move to society-centric to solve world problems and to bring more unity.
In ITS, we're thinking about organizational architecture, we call it, which is both the structure, the systems, the policies, everything, the tangible side of organizations. We think about it, in terms of pre-modern, modern, post-modern, meta-modern, hierarchical, pre-modern, matrix, modern, processor, flat, post-modern, lattice, meta-ish works, meta-modern.
So getting to meta-modern is where integral is, right? So meta-modern is you take more and more and more perspectives. If you want to have adaptability, so in the ITS quadrant, what are we concerned about? We're concerned about structures that are adaptive. So if you want to have organizational agility, you have to have more of an adaptive structure. How are we going to improve adaptive structures? So if you're very hierarchical, it's going to be very difficult to have a value stream move through there, right? So this is how we look at the ITS quadrant.
And this is where business results live on a certain level. If we don't do this, we're not going to be creating value for the organization. There's no reason to do it if we don't address this. It's just that we need the left hand to empower it, essentially.
Now we move to the we quadrant. And the we quadrant, of course, is where we have culture and relationships. And how we talk about it is something you're all probably familiar with, which is Lalu and Spiral Dynamics and the colors. And we have 5 minutes.
So essentially what happens is that organizations, we talked about getting thrown in over their heads. Agile is a, thank you, 5 minutes. Agile is a flag. We're pluralistic green. We're pluralistic green. Come play with us. And all the pluralistic green people come play with the agile people, and they piss off the achievement orange people, basically. They who want the money, who want the benefits, but they don't want all the hoo-ha, all the touchy-feely. feely stuff.
So this is why Agile is it can be a game changer, right? And if you understand the language to talk, if you understand where people are in their mindset and in the culture, you can more understand how to talk to people, how to reach people, how to meet people where they are to help them shift. And so this is the thing that we teach actually Agile coaches and consultants to about, because we know that the industry needs to move to this left side more in order to make transformation happen. Otherwise, it's going to be an installation.
The other thing we use this model for is to see who we are. And see, because if we are not coming from second tier, we're probably going to be part of the problem. We're probably going to just reinforce the culture wars within the organization. We're not going to be able to resonate with wherever somebody is coming from and be able to effectively talk that language.
Well, and that goes back to the first quadrant, the I, the mindset. If you're in reactive as an Agile coach or a consultant, if you're in reactive and you're going reactive to reactive, you're not going to make transformation happen. As the coach, as the change agent, you have to move to more outcome creating or you're stuck.
All right, so this is the whole framework. What do we want to say?
So what we do, what we help people do is to really practically use this. We say, okay, give us a problem, give us a challenge, whether it's team level, organization level. We're going to take that, and we have a big floor mat and all kinds of stuff, fun stuff we do, but put it right in the middle, and then we're going to take that challenge, and we're going to help you think integrally by moving you through each quadrant and looking at that problem one quadrant at a time, because chances are it's touching every single quadrant.
So we have a tester and a developer having a conflict in a stand-up meeting. If we look at it from this point of view, we see they're both being reactive. If we look at it from this point of view, we see they're not following the actual stand-up practice. If we look at it from this point of view, they have two different managers who are measuring them with different reasons and creating the conflict. And if we look at it from this point of view, they're arguing in they don't have a good relationship. They don't have relationship conflict protocols or whatever. So we see a lot more stuff that way, and we help, you know, our clients see more stuff that way.
And so, wow, that was hard, but I think we almost did it. So how are we allies of evolution? We didn't really know what this totally meant because we couldn't figure it out from the pamphlet, but what we think is that we're all here in this room, and many of you are working in Agile, so we actually are allies in this, and we can all help and take organizations up a level by using methods and tools that help us do that. And so we believe that this is the real revolution. Yeah.